Alright, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and check if we're recording. Yeah, I always have to do that. But, we're back with Chasing Sunsets. Yeah, you guys love it. I've had people deliberately say, hey, we want more Chasing Sunsets, so here you are. Prizer Advanced Laboratory, Boston, 26 years ago. This is a very old flashback. The data just isn't here. The test specimens show no improvement over placebo. It's there, but our sample size is way too small to certify. The testing is going too slow, and we're starting to cut corners. I can feel it. Next shipment is on hold, pending FDA ethics review. What we have right now is what we have. Sarah pauses a moment, lost in thought. Do you still have OR privileges at Cambridge? Of course. Walk with me. Walk with me. Where are we going? Someplace we can talk. Just you and me. Is it a secret? Not a secret, Grim. I just want to ask the most important man in my life a question. We're going to see James? No, silly. You're the most important man in my life. Hell, heck yeah! Arriving at the park, your mother sits you on a bench and kneels so you... Let's try that one again, guys. Arriving at the park, your mother sits you on a bench and kneels so she can look you in the eye. It's just been you and me for a long time now, Grim. I want you to know you'll always be Mommy's ride or die. But it's not just you and me, Mom. James and Jay are part of our family now. Your mom's eyes begin to well up at those words, but you're too young to understand why. What did you want to ask me, Mom? You just answered it, and you made me so happy. Happy enough to get me an ice cream? Expensive date. Yes, Grim, at least that happy. Why is it so loud when you walk, Mom? Republic of Tonalu, annoyingly early. Mom. The fuck? You awaken to tropical humidity and the sound of footsteps on the deck above you. It's gotta be 3 a.m. Who's stomping around at this hour? You throw on some trunks and flip-flops before stepping out into the sweltering night. The sound of soft waves lapping against the hull of the sunset greet you. A cursory search of the deck reveals nothing suspicious. You're about to return below deck when you see a familiar form sitting near the pool. They have a pool. Oh yeah, they have a pool on the ship. That's weird, right? Because there's like water. I don't know. I didn't get it. Hey, Grim. Oh, they do have a pool. There's a pool on the boat that's in the water. Man, that's just, that's so bizarre to me. You're up late or early, depending on how you look at it. I've been having dreams, jumping on a trampoline, flipping in the air. I do not know what she's singing here. Singing seems to be your thing. You definitely have the voice for it. Mallory looks away in embarrassment. That didn't happen. We both know it did. Sit. Time for some answers, huh? Yeah. My childhood was a mess. I'm an orphan, of sorts. Okay. I'm not selling a sob story, it's just where all of this begins. My father ran away with me when I was 10 and committed suicide a few months later. Shit. Like I said, it's just some background. My mother couldn't be located after my father's death, so I became a ward of the state. Go on. I went from foster home to foster home, never knowing what had happened to my mother. I'm sure you can guess how foster life sometimes goes for young girls. I always hope those are mostly just stories. Yeah, mostly. Anyway, it's over now. As soon as I was old enough, I set out to find my mother on my own. After a year of searching, I was finally successful. That must have felt like winning the lottery. Yeah, till I actually met her. She barely remembered me. She was an addict. Her mind was mostly gone. She had her good days, but for the most part, she was somewhere else. I'm still not clear on how that connects us. One lucid morning, my mother showed me a closet full of father's things. Mostly stuff that just reinforced my opinion of him, but also his notebooks and files from when he worked at Prizer.
He worked at Prizer?
Yes, for Dr. Sarah Forrester.
Mom?
Yeah. You know, Prizer sure has come up a lot today. They just filed a suit against us. That can't be a coincidence. Mallory turns to look at you, and you see that she's wearing her contact lenses. Anyway, I learned things about myself in those notes, including why I was a constant reminder of failure from my father. Ironic, considering he's the one who took the easy way out. Mallory stares across the water a moment before responding. I also learned I'm the unplanned outcome of a Prizer effect called Crucible. Prizer effort, rather, not effect. This is important, so I'm gonna read it again. I also learned I am the unplanned outcome of a Prizer effort called Crucible. I never heard Mom talk about it. How was she involved? That's what I'm here to find out. When I showed George my father's notes, he agreed to let me examine Sarah's research. Most of that is either aboard this yacht or ashore in her office. I hope you're not angry with me. It's a lot to take in. That's why you really came looking for me in Aspen? Yes, at first. My employer was more than happy to put me on assignment to interview you. In the moment, it felt like a win-win. But now, it's more complicated. You must have had compelling information to bring George on board. My father's notes and a few other things that are personal to me.
Like?
Please, I don't want to lie to you.
Then don't.
I promise. I'll tell you first when I'm ready to talk about it. You're not going to pop some Jerry Springer lost sister bullshit on me, are you? Mallory punches you playfully on the shoulder. That'd be a real trick. I'm only 3 months older than you. Your mom may have been exceptional, but I'm pretty sure she had a standard-issue uterus. My memory's fuzzy on that point, if I'm being honest. Mallory's laugh is almost as musical as her singing voice. I don't think I've ever met somebody as constantly happy as you. Happiness is a choice. Though, I've always seen myself as hopelessly flawed. My father had a lot to do with that. Some things a child just can't unhear. You think spending time buried in Mom's notes will help? I don't know about that, but something else already has.
What's that?
Spending time with her son, silly.
Ooh.
He doesn't mind spending time with you either, you know. I am on Mallory path, by the way. Her smile seems uncertain at first, but slowly gains confidence. Good, but if you start referring to yourself in the third person, I'm just gonna make fun of you.
Noted.
I need to share this with my sister, you know? Do what you think is right. You both stare out the sea in silence, but your arm remains around her waist. After a few minutes of quiet introspection, you move to get up. This was nice.
Mm-hmm,
but you need to get some rest.
Yeah, let's talk more tomorrow.
I'd like that. You stand and smile at Mallory.
Good night.
Good night, Grim.
Sweet dreams.
Republic of Tonalu, late morning. You awaken to the sound of knocking on your stateroom door. Door's open. Jay enters your storeroom and stares at you expectantly.
Is this a good time?
Figure putting this off for the perfect time is how we get here to begin with.
Oof. Let's try that one again, guys.
Figure putting this off for the perfect time, not the perfect time, is how we got here to begin with. Jay smiles nervously in response and seems to relax a little.
No excuses today. I've taped a note to the door and...
Jay turns around and you hear a click. You hear the door click as it locks. We're going to talk until it's time to meet with George. His office on the boat, right? No, change of plans. The overlook where Mom and Dad had their wedding. Guess we're going ashore then. Is this Mom and Dad's idea or is George just being dramatic? I think it's sweet. Honestly, I don't know. You sit up and stretch, blinking away sleep. Can you put on a shirt? Get used to it. It's the tropics. Jay suddenly seems uncomfortable, and her eyes wander the cabin to avoid focusing on you. What's that book? I've never noticed that before. Those look like your journals. You kept up with them then? Yeah, I try to write a little every day. Wow, maybe we don't need to talk after all. A smirk tugs at the corner of her mouth. I could just take these back to my room and catch up. I'd really rather you didn't. The mischievous gleam in Jay's eye only intensifies. 5 years of your secrets all in one place. The Chronicles of Grimm. No, don't read the Chronicles of Grimm. Are you insane, woman? Sis, you're right. What kind of sister would I be if I snooped in your diary? Boom, headshot. Jay's laugh suddenly fills the cabin, but there's no hint of bitterness in it. It's been a long time since I heard that. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. We won't get anywhere if all we do is pick at old wounds. You'd rather talk about the inheritance? Fuck no, but I suppose it's part of our lives now. What did you have in mind then? Let's just play it by ear. That's pretty much what I was gonna say as well. I'll even let you start if you want. After a brief hesitation, Jay sits on the bed next to you. Well, she sits on the bed. She doesn't sit on the bed. Let Jay ask the first question, or I need some answers now. Just give it a minute. That's fine, you start. How were things after I left? We were in bad shape for a bit. Especially Mom. Yeah. It took some time, but I think Dad understood you the best and calmed her down. I know George came by to talk about it, but I don't know what was discussed. And how were you? Fine. Jay's voice hardens a little and she avoids your eyes. Anyway, before I knew it, I was starting my pre-med program. You know Dad and Mom. When I wasn't in class, I was working. Doing what? Bartending in a local watering hole. Anyway, I haven't done much besides school and work since you left. Why is everybody working in a bar? Tara's tried to get me to travel a few times, but I wasn't feeling it. I see. Guess I'm up. Excuse me. Guess I'm up? Guess you are. I figure I'll start with some easy ones. Let's see how that goes. She closes her eyes and takes a deep breath. What's the story with Mallory? That's an easy one? I don't want details on your sexcapades. I'm just asking why she's here. It's not like that. We haven't done that. It's none of my business. Why she's here certainly is. Not certainly. Yeah. She found me in Colorado, asked for an interview. And you agreed? Yeah, sounded like she was just doing a Polygene story. She wasn't? No, she was interested in Mom, not the company. Mom, why? Her father worked with Mom at Prizer, and his notes left a lot of open questions. Well, why can't he answer them? He killed himself after kidnapping her when she was young. Oh, that's terrible. I didn't know she was going to be at George's office that morning. I was just as surprised as you. Snickers. Pleasantly surprised by the look of it. She's quirky. She's beautiful. She smiles as she says it, but you detect a hint of worry in her voice. Maybe a little bit of jealousy too, guys. Anyway, she shared her father's notes with George before we arrived. He found them compelling enough to give her access to Mom's office.
Wait, so you're not dating?
What? No.
Oh. Sounds like maybe I should try to get to know her a little. Well, I guess it's your turn.
Why did you bring Christian to the yacht? He ambushed me with two lawyer goons as soon as I got off the plane.
Oh, hold on. We don't need to know that, really.
How do you feel about taking over Polly Jean? Overwhelmed, inadequate, unprepared, undeserving.
Yeah.
To be honest, my biggest fear is what the inheritance will do to us. But to tell the truth, that worry is starting to feel a little silly. Since Dad and Mom passed, it feels like you and I are moving in the right direction. I feel the same way. Anyway, I don't want to talk about this yet. This talk is about us. There'll be plenty of time for this later. You're right, sorry. Where have you been all this time?
I spent that first winter in Colorado at a ski lodge. Got my alpine and snowboarding instructor certifications.
That's so you.
Made good money. Got really close to the lodge owners.
Why didn't you stay?
That's complicated. Uncomplicated.
I was only there a few months before the owner's wife and I got close.
Wow.
I never felt comfortable in one place. I only really slept well on the road.
Look, not gonna judge here. But maybe you weren't sleeping well because you were fucking your boss's wife?
That felt shitty, but no, I had heavier baggage. Call it Mom and Dad's disapproval. Your disapproval. I'm not sure that's the right word for how we felt.
I got talked into going to Belize for spring break by one of my students. That's where the travel bug bit me.
Want to know a secret?
Sure.
Mom and Dad always knew where you were. When I'd ask, they'd just say you were doing fine. It's not like I didn't check in every once in a while.
Oh, I know. I could always tell when they heard from you.
Wait, George!
Huh?
He admitted it in our meeting. George said he could track my phone because it was in their name.
Makes sense. They avoided talking about you around me.
Why?
Jade just looks away, but doesn't answer.
Anyway, I made a friend in Honduras and sort of tagged along with him.
That must be when... Never mind.
When what?
I guess there's no point in hiding it.
Dad had a world map in his office he kept adding the little colored pins to.
What? Really?
Yeah, didn't have to be a brain surgeon to figure out what that was all about. I saw Japan, China, India, about 3 places in Africa, Russia, and Mongolia.
What the fuck were you doing in Mongolia, Grim?
Went to see a concert.
Went to see a concert?
What? It was free.
Naturally.
You're up, I guess.
Is anyone waiting for you back home?
Yeah, I'm juggling 3 boyfriends at the moment.
Still haven't decided which one to impulse marry when I get home.
Oh?
Then there was that offer to appear on The Bachelorita.
For real?
No, not for real, you idiot. Between school and work, there is no me time. I never thought I could be this tired at 24. Maybe a break is what you needed.
I did need a break, but not like this.
My turn?
I told myself I wouldn't ask this, but...
Why did you ghost me when we were little?
It takes you a moment to remember what she was talking about.
Hmm.
Oh,
You mean when we stopped walking to school together? Yeah. I faked a sick day so I could stay home and play shooty too. I remember. When you came home from school, I heard what Jenna said to you.
Jenna?
Oh my god, what did you hear? She was making fun of you for hanging out with me so much. Said you'd never make any friends if you were following me everywhere.
You've got to be kidding me.
Grim, I spent time with you because having one best friend was enough for me. Your popularity sure skyrocketed as soon as you were out of my shadow.
You think that's why?
The timeline fits. I only got popular after kicking Jenna's ass. No way, how did I not hear about it? I'd have loved to have seen that. The memory is just a blur for me now. Tara told me later that when I snapped, even she was afraid of me. But you know how she exaggerates.
Damn! She punched her in the throat!
Jenna was a mean girl and a bully. She wasn't going to choose my friends, so I put her in her place. You almost put her in the fucking emergency room. The irony is not lost on me that you did the same thing for me at the graduation party.
Fuck.
It's so ridiculous looking back.
What is?
I used to get so angry when you stood up for me. I thought it was because you didn't think I could take care of myself.
That wasn't it.
I know that now, dummy. I just had to remember what made me throat punch Jenna.
Yeah, she totally throat punched her. I was making sure I wasn't misseeing that.
What you did to Christian was just your way of showing love that you cared. Anyway, do you have another question for me?
Why did you bring Christian to the yacht? Like, we do know this, though.
He ambushed me with two lawyer goons as soon as I got off the plane. I hadn't seen him since the party. What's weird is that it was like they were expecting me. My first impulse was to run. I can take care of myself, Grim, but something about that guy terrifies me. That's when I remembered.
Remembered what?
I knew if I could get back to you, to the yacht, everything would be fine. And it was.
Grim, for me, this is very complicated.
So, uncomplicated.
Jay smirks, hearing her own words used against her.
Cute. I've had to live with the guilt of making you leave the family. And it's even worse now knowing I ruined it all before Dad and Mom... Well, before this. I guess I wanted to know if after all this you still loved me enough to protect me. And if I loved you enough to even... Excuse me. And if I loved you enough to let you do it. Oh God, the things I said to you and Dad that night.
Jay's voice quavers, and you sense she's on the verge of tears.
I know a thing or two about guilt, Jay. But you need to know that I did see Mom and Dad before they died.
What? When?
That's a story for another time. Well, it is my turn. I'm just not ready to go there yet. Please, just pick another question. Here goes. You didn't come home when I graduated pre-med. No way Mom didn't tell you about it.
She did.
I worked so hard for that, Grim. Why couldn't you be there?
Jay seems poised to push, but something in your eyes stops her cold.
I really want an answer to this one, but I can tell I hit close to home.
Yeah.
We can talk about it another time. We've come so far already today. There's no rush.
No, you deserve to know.
You collect yourself before opening a mental door you've kept locked for over a year.
I told you I made a friend in Honduras.
Yes.
David.
Or was it David?
I don't know how you even describe a guy like him.
He was a historian, prisoner of war, and even a combat hero.
Sounds exactly like the kind of friend you'd make.
Does it?
Maybe. I was fortunate enough to be one of the few who really got to know him.
Then tell me who he was. A man of rare honesty, wisdom, and principle.
Sounds like you inherited your mother's eye for judging a guy's quality. Well, even she got it wrong the first time. She made it up for the second. That's for sure. James and David actually had a lot in common. Anyway, all of those pushpins on Dad's map, David and I were traveling together. He did this willingly? Still got jokes, I see. Sorry, please continue. He wasn't the easiest person to get to know. But he taught me first. Pardon me. But he taught me first how to survive and then how to thrive. Oh my God, were you two an item? No, nothing like that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. That door may be locked, but I can still throw your skinny ass out the window. You expect Jay to keep teasing you, but she just waits for you to continue. He showed me that dwelling on regrets just cheats you out of life. He taught me about respect and the kind of strength you don't learn in sports. But he saved the most important lesson for last. What was that? So Mom did call and gave me the details on your graduation. Valedictorian, she said. She was so goddamn proud. I don't know if it's David or David, but whatever. David and I were in Tunisia, close to the Libyan border. We were headed north to Tunis, and from there to Sicily by ferry. Sicily? That's where you were when Dad and Mom had their accident. Yeah. I was to fly home out of Italy while David took care of some legal stuff. With you so far. Or he says, she's saying, with you so far. David's brother, whatever, got rich on Pupcoin and gifted him a villa in Palermo. He was going to handle the transfer of ownership while I was in Boston. And that's when everything went to shit. Dahiba. Tunisia, 1 year ago. I have enough cash to cover your flight home out of Naples. Oh, come on, David. I can still afford a plane ticket. The thunder of a distant explosion rolls across the desert. Bad business, that. Libya's gone to hell. There's a border crossing here, so refugees. The State Department just flipped it to red for travel. Ugh. Let's find a caravan and give our feet a rest. Whole town feels like a powder keg. Tell me what you see. No children playing. It's morning, almost no activity. Curfew, maybe? Just common sense. When in Rome. Yeah, let's find some place to lay low until we can hire some wheels. Ah, Taurus! You and David see a shady-looking man regarding you curiously. Selma, just passing through. The man smiles mirthlessly as two more unsavory thugs appear out of the shadows. Oh, shit. Everyone in Dahiba is just passing through, but travel on foot is foolish in this heat. We are expecting a taxi. The man scowls at that. No taxis are running. There's a war on. Haven't you heard? Thug makes a show of pondering alternatives before grinning sadistically at David. Perhaps if you give me your taxi fare, we could transport you. Realizing your peril, you instinctively begin scanning your surroundings as David taught you. No police in sight, and any bystanders cleared out when these assholes showed up. David, we're men of the world. Let's not pretend you are our friend. Very well, man of the world. Then let us also not pretend you were waiting for a taxi. What do you want? As the man laughs, you think you hear the click of a gun being cocked from behind you. Behind us. Revolver, I think. I want you too. You shall be ransomed. Alive for now, unless you wish to make trouble. We're worth more alive than dead. Of course you are, but bodies don't fight back or try to escape. Decisions, decisions. Now! Before the men can react, you climb a stone wall and jump to a rooftop. Ilako! You hear shouting behind you, but it's already starting to fade as you pick up speed. Your heartbeat echoes in your ears as adrenaline courses through your body.
If two are after me, David will have no problem with the ringleader. I'll just circle back after I lose those clowns. Or these clowns, rather. Oh, shit! No! You pull yourself up short and begin to make your way back to where you left David. No! 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 Winded, you arrive at the first rooftop and slowly peer over the edge. The thugs are gone, but you see no sign of David. There's blood! That's when you see David's boot protruding out from behind the stone wall. David! Jumping down the street level, you rush to aid your friend. David slumps against the stones, a crimson stain spreading on his chest. His eyes are open and his breathing shallow. David, hold on, I'm going to get help! The pistol the thug used lies in the dust, along with David's wallet. There's still some cash in it, so David must have dropped it. In his hand, you notice the laminated white card which he weakly tries to offer you. With each shallow, labored breath, you hear air entering the wound in David's chest. Fuck! Sensing time is short, you clasp the hand holding the card between your own. Holding back the building wave of grief, you look into your dying friend's eyes. Normally, you struggle with even basic Hebrew, but this time the words come effortlessly. I cannot say that. I'm not going to try to say that. I don't speak Hebrew. A sigh escapes David's lips, and then he's gone. Jay just stares at you in shock. Grim, That's the day I learned how the world really works. I'd seen glimpses, sure, but nothing prepared me for this. What happened then? I closed his eyes. And I said goodbye. Then I pulled his body out of sight into the alley. There's a phone number on the card in David's hand. I don't know how long I sat there before I called it. Ugh, I was numb. The war sounded a million miles away. I don't even remember what I said to the man who answered. I must have given him our GPS fix because they came for us. Who came? David's old unit. No uniforms, but armed to the teeth and frosty as hell. They appeared out of thin air like ghosts. I don't know what I would have done if they hadn't come. The bandits might have come back to finish the job. Maybe I'd have become a footnote on the news. I was beyond caring what happened to me. I only snapped out of it when I felt a hand on my shoulder. We flew home with him at dusk. Hard brunch. Efficient. Grim, and barely a word spoken. The silence among the team was heavy. After getting out of so many scrapes, his number had come up with a two-bit bandit. Being in shock was the only thing that held the darkness at bay. You reminded him of Yuri. Of who now? When David was in captivity, he shared a cell with another hostage, a student named Yuri. David was always a stoic one. But that icy facade had a very big heart. Yes, it did. Even after a year of daily torture, Yuri's good spirits never wavered. No matter how he was brutalized, he refused to break. At night he'd say, "Ah, David, real men don't need fingernails. Save them for the ladies. Our pinky fingers are the most useless fingers." David never spoke of his time in captivity. He would not have wanted to burden you. One evening, David was alone in his cell. Yuri didn't return. A week later, one of his captors told him that Yuri had been beheaded on camera. In reality, Yuri's ransom was paid and he had been returned to his family. Knowing David, that did not go over well. Indeed, it was meant to break his spirit, but instead David broke the guard's neck. We learned later that he killed four men escaping that place barehanded and malnourished. His first thought was to find Yuri's body rather than his own safety. Not sure if that sounds suicidal or like classic David. We don't leave men behind. You didn't leave your man behind. But I ran, and he paid for my life with his own. Gladly, Grim. Just as you would have done for him had the rules been reversed. Or the roles, rather. How can you be so sure? I can be sure because David was. The grizzled veteran pauses for a moment before extending his hand. Or David, rather. David was. What is this? David's challenge coin. He would have wanted you to have it. I don't understand. It's a deep honor that only brotherhood gives meaning to. You may not understand now, but you will someday. So during my graduation, I stayed with David's family for his Shiva, 7 days of mourning. David's brother signed the Palermo Villa over to me instead. I think he just didn't want the reminder. I moved in there for a few months until I couldn't avoid coming home. When I called with the news about Dad and Mom's accident, I wish I had known. I was so hurt about you missing my big day, and you were burying a friend. I tried my best. You were exactly where you needed to be. Jay manages a wry smile. But I'd been super pissed if you were at a free concert in Mongolia. In spite of the heavy mood, you find yourself chuckling along with her. That's all I'm up for today, I think. I have just one more question. I don't know, sis. Come on, it's an easy yes or no question. Alright, one more. Jay stands and walks towards the door. All this talk about best friends reminds me. Jay pauses and looks back at you over your shoulder. Did you fuck Tara? Jay turns to face you with a conflicted expression. It's not what you think. She didn't betray you. She was throwing a Hail Mary. What? Jay approaches you hesitantly. You instinctively rise from your bed, unsure what to expect. Fuck, I can't tell what she's thinking. I already knew. What? Then why did you ask? You feel an inexplicable tension as your sister stops just short of you and looks into your eyes. Thank you for telling me the truth. It would have been so easy to lie. Jay rests her head against your chest and you feel the warmth of her hands against your back. I meant it when I said it's not what you think. Tara loves you. I know. No secrets between sisters. I've forgotten his scent. But Jesus, his body. If we're stuck together like this for a month, I'm in trouble. Jay sighs contentedly before looking back up at you. I can read her again. She's let me back in. Remember, they're not actual brother and sister. They're step, you know, I mean, obviously, it was his, wasn't it his son and her daughter, or was it his daughter and her son? I can't remember. Anyway, they got together and that's what happened. But they're not blood related. I can read her again. She's let me back in. How'd you stay so fit on the road? Fitness industry would be out of business if everyone spent most of their time outdoors. I suppose that's true. How about you don't make me wait 5 years before we talk like this again? Feels like there's still a lot left to cover. A lot less than there was yesterday? Jay smiles brightly at you before leaving. Tonalu Harbor Overlook, near sunset. That talk went easier than I thought, until the Terra ambush. Feels like we at least have a truce for now. Please forgive an old man's sentimentalism. Let's try to get into George here. Please forgive an old man's sentimentalism, you two. Place seems smaller than I remember. We're just bigger. Just so. In any case, the Prizer lawsuit has proven to be a bigger speed bump than I anticipated. How so? The plaintiff claims to have a whistleblower inside Polygene that will testify against us. It's all bullshit, George. Mom would never resort to... I know, sweetie. The whistleblower isn't what bothers me. Then what's got you rattled, George? It appears the judge on the case may be compromised.
Well, can we file a motion to recuse? I don't know what that means. We could if we had evidence. All we have at the moment is educated guesswork. Judge Barrett's ex-wife just received a grant of 14... Wow. Is that a... Yeah, 14,000. I was gonna say... Yeah, I got it right. There's just no comma there. Judge Barrett's ex-wife just received a grant of 14,000 shares of Prizer stock. You don't think? Yeah, I think the judge plans to retire with his ex-wife someplace warm and sunny. There are no coincidences. What can we do? I'm working on it. For now, I need you both to listen very closely. Sarah and James loved you very much. But they weren't going to put the welfare of so many in the hands of... kids? Well, neither of you are kids anymore, but you lack wisdom and experience. And there's no better proof of that than your inability to get along. George, I know it seems that way, but we are talking, and I think we've already come a long way. Nobody would be happier than me if that were true. Nonetheless, one of you will be left in charge of Polygene Biotech when this is over. Right now, neither of you appear up to the task. Because we're not. To your surprise, Jade doesn't protest. Instead, she edges towards you until you can feel that bare skin of your hand. Instead, she edges in towards you until you can feel the bare skin of her hand against yours. I promise we'll get done with this. What do you need us to do, George? I have a very short period of time to show you the ropes. So we will meet here each morning, and I will give you each an assignment. Are we to work together, or... That's up to you, as long as everything gets done. What kind of tasks? Mostly the learning how to run a business kind. But there are other qualities I'd like to have a better look at as well. So that's it? Meet here in the mornings? Yes, unless told otherwise. And then we meet again in the evening to see how you both performed. How long do you plan for this to go on? Until one of you demonstrates that you have what it takes. And what if neither of us does? We both do, Grim. We just need to show him. That's the spirit. Now enjoy the sunset, and then we can head back to the yacht. George steps away, leaving you and Jay to watch as the Pacific begins to swallow the sun. The silence between you is uneasy at first, but soon you're both lost in your own thoughts. Felt like we made progress today, but I can tell we've got a long way to go. Can we put all of our baggage behind us and work together? Out of the corner of your eye, you see Jay sneaking glances at you. Like night and day. I'm sorry. I'm sorry? I was so full of joy the last time I was here, but now... Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt, but Miss Chapman just texted me from the Polygene Annex. She wants to talk to you, son. Says it's important. I guess if we're going to work together, we should start now. Did she give you any more details, George? She said she just... Excuse me. She just said she stumbled across something while she was in your mother's files. Something that affects the company. Seems like a no-brainer to me. You better check it out. Alright then, how do I find her? Let me send the location to your phone. I can call ahead and clear your access, but I have a meeting I can't miss. It's alright, George. I can find my own way back to the sunset. MV Sunset, a short time later. We're gonna go ahead and end it right here. Don't worry, more Chasing Sunsets is coming up. Let's see, it is the 19th? Really? Oh, shit. So the next Chasing Sunsets will be on Thanksgiving. I'm off that whole day. So we can start early. And we can do a good long Thanksgiving run of Chasing Sunsets. Because I think that while rough at times, this is a very good novel. As far as it meets the wholesome or maybe not so wholesome aspects. But I think it's one of the best candidates for an AVN that I've seen in recent memory. It's very, very good. And I think you guys would love for us to do maybe an hour or even 2 hours if you guys want of Chasing Sunsets and really cover some ground in just chapter 2 of 7. They're quite long chapters, I think. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I'll be out. I'll see you guys next time on Thanksgiving with more Chasing Sunsets. Stay tuned.